that counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. There ain't no second place in a Lambo, it's a whole new game.
Welcome to Lombardi's Legends Podcast. This is Weg. Joining me as always is Dane. And Dane, Packers 8-3, and we are getting ready for another NFC East divisional showdown, and it's going to be against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Dane, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Wags. I thought that last week's win over the Bears was just what the doctor ordered. We talked going into that game, would the Packers play with urgency? Would they play with energy? The answer to those questions was yes, resounding yes. And I expect that to carry over this week against the Eagles. This is a game last season that was, I thought, remarkably disappointing, an otherwise pretty solid season for the Packers. And, you know, we dropped one last year. I expect this year that the Packers come out swinging. The Eagles have had quite a bit of struggles, but they're playing in an awful bad division. So they're still fighting for a playoff spot with a 3-win season this late in the year is pretty remarkable. But Wags, I'm feeling good. I'm excited to break this game down because I think that this is going to be an exciting game to watch, and I really like our odds this week.
Absolutely. So just logistically, folks, we are recording this on a Friday evening, and Dane and I, after a long week, both decided to crack open a couple of beers. So, Dane, sure. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking an Ale Asylum here from the great city of Madison, Wisconsin. I'm having an IPA, and I'll tell you what, it's just what I needed after a long week during Packer football. Wags, what are you drinking?
So I've got a Luau IPA. So, folks, we haven't talked a lot about this, but I've been kind of just traveling around the country. So I am recording this live from an island in southern South Carolina. I'm on Edisto Beach. So it's a nice 75-degree day here. And so I thought a Luau IPA would be most appropriate. It's from Terrapin Brewing Company, just over the border in Athens, Georgia. So, Dane, it's quite delicious, and I am definitely enjoying the nice warm temperatures for this time of year.
That sounds incredible. It's a little warmer there than probably here in good old Wisconsin, but we've got a bit of a heat wave, Wags. It's in the 40s today, so you're missing out. Get your Bermuda shorts ready.
Well, I am in shorts and a t-shirt right now, but more importantly, I feel like the Packers are starting to heat up again after that performance last week. So let's dive right into this, shall we? We've got I think a team, when you look at the records, the Eagles certainly are struggling quite a bit, but they're right in the thick of it in this this crazy NFC East division. So you know that they're going to be coming out and giving their best effort. And heck, they came into Lambeau last year and I think stole a victory from us. So they should have the Packers' full attention, and they still got a lot of talent on this roster.
Yeah, they do. I think that's a great jumping off point, Wags, because they have a lot of talent on this roster, and there seems to be a lot of dysfunction going on there in Philadelphia. I mean, Doug Peterson, their head coach, Packer fans that are our age or older will remember Doug Peterson as the longtime backup quarterback to Brett Favre here in Green Bay. But I look at what they're doing, and I think inconsistency is the name of the game with the Philadelphia Eagles this year, because when you look at the names on the roster, they've got a lot of talent there, up and down the roster, but I think it all starts really with their quarterback position. Carson Wentz is just, for lack of a better term, been pretty bad this season for them. He's not making the throws. He's got happy feet. He looks like he's really regressed as a threat. And I thought after a couple really encouraging seasons for them, he just doesn't look like he's gotten better, and in fact looks like he's gotten a little bit worse than in previous years. So, Wags, I mean, If you're okay with it, I think we dive right into this Eagles offense. And I got to ask you, what the heck's wrong with Carson Wentz? Because he looks exploitable in this leading this Philly offense.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. So some of it might be game flow. He's obviously the franchise quarterback, and he's got that pedigree and talent level. I think when you look at him, he's still got that big arm. He's a big guy, really good athlete. He had some pretty solid seasons in his first few seasons, but I don't know if a few seasons ago, he probably had his best season, and early on was really looking like he was, potentially a top 10, top 5 level quarterback, but hasn't really been able to get there. And I think the biggest problem for him this year is he's just been getting pressured like crazy. The Eagles have given up the most sacks in the league. He's been sacked 46 times.
Ooh.
So that's just really tough. And I think it's interesting when you look at this Eagles offense on paper, you have to wonder because they've been really effective running the football, but they haven't really run the ball that much. They've been heavily tilted towards passing. Now, I know they've been behind in a lot of games, so you tend to throw the ball a lot more when you're coming from behind. That can also lead into a lot of those sacks because, as you know, when the defense knows you're going to throw the ball, they can pin the ears back and put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So it seems like there's probably a little bit of situational football, and they may have manifested themselves in some bad habits for Carson Wentz, but I'm sure he's probably pretty frustrated when he's trying to do everything he can to put the team on his back and bring them back and be competitive in these games, and he's on his back more often than not. So is he forcing the football a little bit? Yeah, probably. Does he have some happy feet? I don't know too many quarterbacks that wouldn't if you're getting sacked at that rate. So, they, I think, are going to really be looking at what they were successful against the Packers last year, and that was running the ball. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to take some pressure off of Carson Wentz this week and establish that run game and try not to be playing from behind. Because if they can limit the turnovers, get that run game going, and force the Packers to slow down a rushing game, which they haven't really been able to do all that much this year, then that's going to be where they could kind of turn it over to Carson Wentz. So if I'm Philadelphia offensive coaching staff, I'm looking at all the ways I can get Mike Sanders a heavy dose of rushing attempts early and often in this game against the Packers.
Wags, that's awesome insight. It really is. And, you talk about that offensive line. It's been musical chairs for them this season. And I got to tell you, so the Packers should be licking their chops, I think, going into this game, the Packers defensive line. So it sounds like Jack Driscoll has been named the starting right tackle this week. He is a fourth-round rookie. They've been playing musical chairs at that position. Jason Peters, who at one point in his career was a phenomenal tackle, has been kicked inside at right guard after a ton of struggles. So, Wags, right away, that's what I'm circling this week as something to keep an eye on, is that right side of the offensive line. We have a very aging Jason Peters now at guard. We have rookie fourth-round pick Jack Driscoll at right tackle. You've got to expect that the Packers are going to look to exploit that side of the offensive line and really try to collapse the pocket on Wentz and really blow things up before Miles Sanders can get going.
Absolutely. On the Packers side of the ball, it is interesting. I don't know how worried we should be, but Za'Darius Smith is listed as questionable for this week. So is that something that could potentially limit what the Packers are able to do, getting after Carson Wentz? And again, I think it's going to be one of those situations where the Packers are going to have to do something to at least limit or slow down this Philadelphia rush offense, because if they're unable to do that, Philadelphia is not getting in third down situations very often, they're going to be in a much more favorable situation. I don't think Philadelphia is going to be too concerned about going for it on fourth down. In fact, they go for it on fourth down more than almost any team in the league. They haven't been terribly effective on third and fourth down. They've only been at about a 35% conversion rate on those downs. So I think it's going to be incumbent on the Packers to slow down Philadelphia on first and second down, force them into those third down situations. And then whether Za'Darius Smith is ready to go or not this week, they're going to have to turn up the heat on third and fourth down. They can't rush three or four guys every time and expect that they're going to be able to get home, even against the beleaguered Philadelphia offensive line. I would really hope that this defensive coaching staff keeps the pressure on and runs some additional stunts, not necessarily blitzes every time, but we've got to be able to give some different looks to this inexperienced offensive line and a group that isn't all that used to playing together as they've been cobbling things together all season.
Wags, it came out this week that Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Eagles, has been giving up some of his play-calling duties and spreading the wealth a little bit there due to their recent struggles. Does that surprise you? Do you think that we're going to see anything different than we've seen out of the Eagles so far this year? And I guess also Jalen Hurts, the number two quarterback, it seems like they're trying to mix him in a little bit more in recent weeks, a la Tayshaun Hill from the Saints. So I guess what I'm wondering is, do you expect to see a little bit more out of Hurts? Do you expect any trickery from the Eagles? I mean, it seems like some of the creativity in Philly that they used to have on the offensive side of ball has gone by the wayside, and they might be looking to maybe heat things up a little bit more.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think it's almost a do-or-die situation for them right now. I mean, granted, they could lose again this week and still be, you know, a game out of first place,
yeah.
Which is crazy. But, you know, at a certain point, they've got to try to get some things going, and they haven't been able to do that. So, on the other hand, you try to do too much trickery, they can't even really, you know, keep things consistent, just playing, lining up and playing regular football, for lack of a better word. They've turned the ball over a ton. They can't protect the quarterback. So I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes those trick plays can blow up, and that's where things can go south in a hurry. But Doug Peterson seems like a high-risk, high-reward type coach, if we know anything about his history. So I feel like you're probably right. He's going to be willing to roll the dice a little bit here, shake things up, and see if they can try a few different things to maybe get an explosive play or two out of some different looks against this Packers defense.
So they've got some real talent. I mean, when you look at some of the names on this roster, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, there's an impressive resume. I mean, we mentioned Miles Sanders. It sounds like Zach Ertz has a real chance of playing this week. Dallas Goedert, their backup tight end, and heck, even Richard Rodgers. We're celebrating the 5-year anniversary of the miracle in Motown, or the Motown miracle, Hail Mary Rodgers to Rodgers, and Richard now is in Philadelphia. So they've got a pretty deep tight end room. Travis Fulgham, who was in Packer camp earlier this year, has turned in some real big games. Alshon Jeffries, DeSean Jackson. I mean, the list goes on. They got some talent on this offense, Wags. Are there any guys that you think the Packers in particular are going to be looking to take away?
That's a good question. I don't know how many guys this defense have particularly taken away from opposing offenses all year. So that would be kind of a first. I'm not trying to get negative here, just stating reality. Dane, which impact offensive player have the Packers played this year that they've taken away?
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you.
If I were the defensive coaching staff, I'd be starting with Zach Ertz. I think that's the guy that, you know, can really hurt you when he's just a smooth tight end, not the fastest guy, but really good hands, runs good routes, he's got size, got an excellent catch radius. He'll go down to the ground to catch the ball. You know, he's been up and down as a red zone threat. They haven't necessarily looked at him in the red zone a ton over the course of his career. Part of that can just be because defenses have keyed on him so much. So I think I would start there. This wide receiver group might be one of the worst in the NFL. I think that's another thing that you could point to that you could really talk about with what could be causing some of the struggles for Carson Wentz at quarterback. With all respect to the guys that they have, I mean, you look at Travis Fulgham. He was someone that the Packers had on their roster this summer, and he gets cut, and now he's starting for the Eagles. And he's had a few nice games, don't get me wrong. I think Coach LaFleur talked about it in his press conference this week. He likes Travis, but, you know, they just didn't have room for him. And he said, hopefully this isn't a week where he gets revenge on the team that passed him up. And Alshon Jeffrey, I think his best years are behind him. They just really have some trouble with drop passes. So I don't know. I think it's got to be Zach Ertz. And for once, if the Packers are able to slow down an opposing rushing offense, this would be the week to try to do it, because yeah. I don't know if the Eagles have a lot of options if they're not able to effectively run the ball.
That's so good. I mean, you're so right. And I got to think do you think we see a heavy dose of Raven Green this week again with these tight ends in there? I mean, I got to think that the Packers are going to be throwing six defensive backs out there just to try to match up. I'm a little nervous about Christian Kirksey right now in some of these coverage situations. I thought last week was a pretty rough week for him in coverage for the Packers. And, we've had these struggles over the years at inside linebacker. The Packers inside linebackers and coverage have their struggles. And again, I don't want to be too negative either, but I got to think that the Eagles are really going to try to exploit the Packers down the middle of the field with these tight ends, because not only is Ertz likely to play, but then I think Dallas Goedert is actually one of the emerging tight ends in all of the NFL. I know he's not a starting tight end technically, but the Eagles love going to the tight end, and that makes me a little squeamish going into this week.
Yeah, that's a very traditional play action type of position, and that goes back to running the ball. So if they're able to be efficient on first and second down and pick up 5, 6, 7 yards a pop, that's what they'll try to do. Make the Packers stop it. Just try to be smash mouth and, pick up yardage every time they can. I don't think they're going to hesitate to punt the ball. They've got a solid defense. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Certainly they know they're going to have to put up points to keep up to this Packers offense this week. They match up. I think they probably feel like they match up pretty well against this Packers defense, despite some of the limitations that they have offensively this season.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. I think, and we'll talk about the Packer offense and the Eagles defense momentarily, but I really think, all the position groups, the wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, I really do think at the end of the day it's going to come down to a game of the trenches. Is Kenny Clark and company going to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage like they did against Chicago? I thought that the defensive line last week against the Bears overall played a pretty strong game. That big run early in the game for the Bears was a miscommunication, and it was more of a defensive breakdown, missing the gap responsibility there. So, Wags, I think that it's going to come down to, are we going to be able to impart our will defensively on this Eagles offensive line? And if we're able to do that, and if we're able to get out to an early lead, it's playing right into our hands, because I don't think that the Eagles are going to have an opportunity to hang with the Packers if Carson Wentz is back there dropping back 40-plus times this week.
I completely agree. Hey, just a real quick question for you. Chris Barnes back practicing this week. He is listed as questionable, but if he's ready to go, do you think he's going to get some run here? He did some stuff for us early this season. We haven't
seen him out there recently, but do you think he's someone that we could keep an eye out for this Sunday?
I'd love to see it. I mean, I know you and I have really been impressed by him. I mean, he does not play like an undrafted rookie whatsoever. I think he's earned a spot, you know, going forward on this defense one way or another. Just got off the COVID list, so it's going to be great to have him back out there. I saw last week Oren Burks was actually out on the field a little bit more on the defensive side of the ball than I had anticipated, and I got to think that that partially is because Chris Barnes was unable to go this week, this past week. So, Wags, that's a good point. I think that obviously Kirksey is going to get a lot of run. Kamal Martin will continue to get his snaps, but I would not be surprised whatsoever if Chris Barnes gets a few reps in there and they can see what this guy can do. And I think that, you know, he does have some of that sideline-to-sideline mobility that lends itself well to a matchup against the Eagles.
Yeah, and, you know, your guy, Preston Smith, who you named as X Factor last week, great call of the week. You know, obviously it came up big. What do you think he can do to build off of that? I mean, we don't necessarily think of momentum in football from game to game as a thing, but certainly confidence can be a factor. So do you think that was something that Preston needed? I mean, you saw that he wasn't out there, and the coaches maybe have to light a little bit of a fire under him in terms of Rashawn Gary earning extra opportunities, and he's out there and getting extra snaps and getting the start ahead of him.
Yeah.
Is that something that, you know, you think will be ultimately a positive for Preston Smith moving forward, just based on how he responded, or do you have some concern that there could still be some inconsistency from him?
Wags, how interesting was that last week? Rashawn Gary gets the start. It's the Darius Smith and Gary, and then, you know, partway through that game, just when we really needed it to, I thought, put the game away early, it was like glimpses of last season. The Darius Smith in the backfield forces the fumble on the quarterback. Preston Smith swoops it up. Smith brothers, you know, attack again, and they put the Packers up. I think that it was a great motivational factor. I love that this coaching staff was not afraid to do something like that. I also love that Preston Smith is such a professional that it clearly didn't impact his play. I think a guy with a less strong mentality would have sulked, would have had a problem, you know, and I think Preston Smith said, you're not going to have me start. I'm going to show you all this week. I also think that scheme had a lot to do with it. Preston Smith is a phenomenal pass rusher. Let the man pass rush. And I thought that last week we were able to see him do that a little bit more. And Wags, I think coming into this week, we need to allow to see that again. I want to see him pin his ears back and go after the Eagles quarterback. And I actually think that Preston Smith is primed for another nice week this week, and we're just scratching the surface. I think we're going to see a nice end of the season for Preston, and I actually think that he's going to be imperative to us going deep in the playoffs. I think the Smith brothers are just getting rolling again, and we're going to see more and more like we did last season.
Yeah, I love it. And on the flip side, how motivating is that for young Rashawn Gary?
Yes.
Look how hard he's been working. And the coach has said, you know what? You earned it. You're out playing this guy. We don't care how entrenched he's been at the starter, how long he's been in the league, how much money he's making. Go out there, young man. You earned this opportunity. And I don't think there's certainly any ill will between those guys. I'm sure Preston's looking at it like, you know what? This young man has been working hard and he's been getting it done. I need to step my game up. So, but you've got to think that, that's a win-win situation right there. So I love the way that that worked out, and good for Preston Smith for responding in a positive fashion, as you said.
Yeah.
So, Dane, any other items you want to hit on with this Eagles offense or the Packers defense this week?
I don't have a lot on this side of the ball, Wags. I mean, I think it's going to be a fun matchup. I think that if we're able to take away the run game, like most weeks, but this week, I think truly, if we're able to take away the run game and you're forcing that quarterback to sit back there, the pocket's going to collapse on him. I just think that we have too many too many guys that can get to the quarterback routinely for Carson Wentz to be able to sit back there and pick this Packers defense apart. So I think that I'm comfortable with where we're at, but with a very serious caveat that Boston Scott and Miles Sanders and, you know, and others aren't able to run at 6 yards a clip. Because if they're doing that against us and we're not able to close, it could prove to be pretty damning for this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you think this is the week? I know that they picked up Anthony Rush off waivers.
Yeah.
Could he be a factor and get some snaps this week as well on that defensive line? Big guy. I think everyone was talking about how big this man is. They could probably use him out there to plug some holes. So we'll see. But it'll be interesting to see if he's out there for some snaps as well.
I got to think he's playing this week, Wags. I mean, I agree. I saw the pictures of him, and I went, holy cow. I was looking at Packer practice photos from throughout the week, and I was like, who is this guy, you know, with the new number? And I'm like, that's Anthony Rush, huh?
Yeah,
I think that it's exciting. I think he's going to have fresh legs. He's going to be a guy who can get down low and just stop the run. I mean, we are in a very privileged position, I think, as Packer fans for all the challenges we've had on the defensive side of the ball. We have some pass rushers. What we need are some big boys up front that can just clog some lanes and stop the run. And I got to think that Anthony Rush is going to get his opportunity to do so this week. So I was really excited to see that we were able to land him, because I think that, you know, he's not flashy. He might not even get a lot of tackles because that's not necessarily the role. But what I think he can do is help eat up blocks and allow for Christian Kirksey and our linebacking core to be able to swarm around the ball and make some plays. So I'm glad you were able to mention him today, because I think he could be one of those under-the-radar signings that Gutekunst has really been able to make over the last season or two.
Yeah, Anthony Rush, 6'4", 361 is what he's listed at. Dave, big boy, and he's going to be wearing number 79 for the Packers. So keep an eye out for him. He, to your point, he may just need to line up and lean forward and not be moved out of the middle of that.
Wags!
If he can do that, I think I like the speed and the guys behind him to come up and make some plays.
Wags, when I saw him, I'm not kidding, you say 79, I thought, is that Ryan Pickett? Do you remember him? Big Pickett fan?
Absolutely.
I was like, that looks like Pickett fence to me. And, I mean, I loved Pickett. So, like, same kind of body type. Just a big boy up front. So, like, let's lean on some dudes and stop the run.
Absolutely. So let's flip over to the offensive side of the ball. And I think one thing that I'll mention, there's not a ton to go over on this injury report this week. So that's why we didn't really talk much about that on the top. But Corey Linsley has been ruled out. So let's talk a little bit about that. Are you expecting that we're just going to go ahead and see Elgton Jenkins line up at center this week?
Yeah, Wags, I think this week, every week until Corey Linsley hopefully is back for a deep playoff run, and I think maybe all year starting next year. I think offline you said Elgton Jenkins is looking like an all-pro center. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think that we are looking at a potential of Bakhtiari. You know, we're going to have Lucas Patrick, Billy Turner, Elgton Jenkins, and John Runyon Jr. At left guard going forward. I think that this is kind of a youth movement we're seeing on this Packers offensive line. But they've been so darn good this season. It's impressive, Wags, how good they have been, both in the run and the pass game. I think that, Why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Elgton Jenkins at center, it seems to be making an awful lot of sense.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's not that I was speaking hyperbole about him looking like an all-pro. I mean, honestly, when you can be an impact player at that center position, and he just looks like a natural there, and with his ability to move guys out of the way as a run blocker and the excellent feet that he has, it takes a lot to be able to snap the ball and do an effective job of being a both a pass and a run blocker. And that's not an easy job to have. The biggest question will be, is he able to make the calls on the offensive line? I think with the experience we have, and certainly with Aaron behind center to help with some of those calls, that can make a big difference too. And Elton's got some experience. He seems like a very bright guy. Doesn't seem like he misses assignments. So I've got a lot of confidence in what he can do up there. But just as a talent, you know, we said we both love Corey Linsley, Dan. So this is taking nothing away from him. But Elton Jenkins looks like, you know, he just looks like a difference maker at the center position. Corey Linsley's played at a very high level in his career with the Packers, but Elton Jenkins kind of pops off the screen playing as a center position. That's the difference that I think you see with him there. So we hope Corey gets healthy because he can still contribute to this team this year. But I'm very, very confident in what Elkin can do. And you know what? When John Runyon Jr. has stepped in and played to the level he has at that guard position, you've got to feel pretty good about what this offensive line will be able to do this week. Coming off a game, Dane, when you said it, let's run the ball, 39 rushes for 182 yards against the Bears. Yeah. That's a pretty solid front line. We know they didn't have Akeem Nix last week, but this is going to be a solid defensive line in the Philadelphia Eagles this week. So what can the Packers do to keep that run game going? Because if they're able to replicate that, I get this goes back to what they were doing those first 4 weeks of the season. How can you stop this Packer offense if they are able to run the ball like they did?
Yeah, so, I mean, Wags, this is a stat that I thought was pretty remarkable. According to ESPN, the Packers rank first in the NFL in both pass block win rate and run block win rate. That's incredible.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Right? I mean, I credit Packers Wire for an article on that, but I mean, you don't see that in the modern day NFL where, especially with some of the turnover that we've seen. I mean, we're down Lane Taylor. Now we're down Linsley. I think that the Packers found an absolute gem in John Runyon Jr. You know, the big kid left tackle out of Michigan playing guard at the NFL level. They found a guy. His dad was good. Guess what? His son's good. He's that kind of guy who doesn't seem fazed when the lights are on him. It's not too bright. He's been comfortable all year when put into position. And, as we all know, it's glaring when there's poor guard play, at the NFL level. And that just has not been the case with John Runyon Jr. Wags, I think this week, what actually happens here, it all starts up front with Fletcher Cox. He's been out for a couple days. He's a limited participant today at practice. He's their all-pro nose tackle. That guy is as active as they come. And I am so excited to watch Elton Jenkins versus Fletcher Cox. I think that this is going to be one of the highlights of the season. I know, Wags, that this isn't one of those matchups that is, you know, huge on paper that everybody's talking about. It's not a Slay versus Devontae Adams. But I think this very well could prove the game. Is Fletcher Cox, the older guy, the veteran defensive tackle that's done it for years, is he able to get the best of the young guy in Elton Jenkins? Or is this where Elton Jenkins is able to show, you know, that he truly is deserving of all of this praise that he's receiving? And I think that this is a week where he's going to be able to do that. I think that Fletcher Cox is a one-man wrecking crew, generally, in the middle of this Eagles defensive line. But this week, Wags, I think that Jenkins is going to have a really fine game against him. It's almost a blessing in disguise in some odd way that Corey Linsley was out last week, because we're not asking Jenkins to get thrown into the fire. I think we know this week that he's going to be playing that role. And I think from a mental perspective, he's going to be even that much more prepared to be able to take on such a big priority like Fletcher Cox. So, I mean, I'm going to be watching that line. And, Wags, I think early on, first, second quarter, we're going to know pretty early who's winning those battles at the line of scrimmage. And that very well could determine the entire game.
Absolutely. And honestly, it's an interesting – I love that you highlighted that matchup because, you know,
again, Corey Linsley's played very, very good football for the Packers in his career, but he's not the most physical guy as an offensive lineman. I think he's better as a pass blocker than he is the run blocker. Elgton Jenkins, I mean, that guy likes to mix it up. So, in a way, you couldn't have a better guy lining up at center this week. So, I'm not saying that the Packers are happy Corey Linsley's out this week, but sometimes the guy lining up directly across from Fletcher Cox, in this case, it's Elgton Jenkins lining up directly across, and he's going to get support from both Lucas Patrick and John Runyon Jr. But those guys can come in and support. But don't be mistaken. Elgton Jenkins is going to be bearing the brunt of that matchup. So you're absolutely right. That is definitely an underrated and key matchup to be watching for. They've got some other guys along this defensive line. I think, you know, another guy that hurt us in the matchup last year a little bit was Brandon Graham at the defensive end position. But you know, Malik Jackson, another guy, big guy, plays defensive tackle, right next to Fletcher Cox as well. So these guys like to mix it up. And you know, with defensive coordinator Mike Schwartz, they're going to be very aggressive. They're going to be sending their linebackers. They're going to send tons of blitzes. They don't care how smart, Aaron Rodgers is pre-snap. They live and die off pressure on a Mike Schwartz defense. And he's played a lot of matchups against Aaron Rodgers. He was with the Lions for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. So these guys are very familiar with each other. You mentioned Darius Slay. I think he's going to follow Devontae Adams all over the field. So if I'm defensive coordinator Mike Schultz of the Eagles, I'm going to attack, take away, and try to win that battle in the trenches, take away this Packers rush offense. You know, it's going to be tough if Aaron doesn't have a lot of time to throw, and even if Slay is able to limit Devontae a little bit, which I don't think he's going to be able to do. He's a darn good cornerback, but Devontae's at another level right now. So, that's what the Eagles are going to try to do is maybe they can force Packers into a couple of turnovers. Maybe they can get a few pressures, a few sacks, and some key third down situations. And stop them just a few enough times to force a few punts for this Packers offense and hopefully be able to control the ball offensively with their rushing offense. It's going to be a very similar game plan if I'm the Eagles coaching staff to what they did last year to be effective against this Packers team.
Wags, on paper, Darius Slay, we talk about the Lions. We've talked about the Lions a lot today. Slay comes over from Detroit. On paper, definitely a punch-up from previous seasons. Slay is coming off of one of maybe his worst performances. He would probably even say his worst performance in the pros. DK Metcalf from the Seahawks absolutely lit him up this last week. It's not going to get easier against Devontae Adams. Do you think that the Packers are watching that tape and going, we're going to go to the well as much as we can with Devontae early and see if Slay's able to rebound? Because, I mean, if I'm Coach LaFleur and Coach Hackett and this offensive personnel for the Packers, I'm watching Slay and going, I mean, he's a talented cornerback, but Devontae is at a different level, and I think we might be able to exploit him. And if we can exploit their number one corner, all bets are off this week.
Yeah, I think you just hit on it. Devontae's at another level. This Packer team, look, they're going to all respect the player that Darius Slay is, but they're not going to be afraid to throw the ball to Devontae. They're going to go to him as much as they possibly can. No doubt about it. It's going to be incumbent on Darius Slay to take his game to another level and try to limit that. The Packers aren't going to do anything to help the Eagles out or Darius Slay in that regard. So I expect that they're going to have their full playbook and they're going to go to Devontae just like they do every week. He's a big part of this offense for good reason, and I would not expect to see anything different this week.
Yeah. Other side, Avante Maddox, the other corner over there on the right side for the Eagles, not very tall. I believe he's listed at 5'9", Wags. I mean, do you see an opportunity here? This comes into play because the Packers have some very long and rangy wide receivers. Obviously, Lazard, MVS, EQ, they're all tall, man. I mean, do you see that as a potential matchup problem for the Eagles? Because I feel like this season the Eagles' defense has been solid at times. They are put in a difficult position with some short field presented by the offense time and time again. But that's another matchup where I just see on the other side, somebody like an Avante Maddox, how does he match up with Alan Lazard or any of the other long, tall receivers for the Packers? Because, I mean, that's going to be a really difficult matchup because we've got some physical wide receivers on our end.
Yeah, I don't know. I think height at the cornerback position is a little bit overrated, personally. You know, I get your point, but, I mean, these guys, they've got to get open first. So, you know, I don't care how tall you are. You can still, I mean, there's a certain catch radius. If they're able to keep them in coverage and keep them from getting open, they're going to be able to win those matchups more often than not. So, these other guys are going to have to be ready to go because as much as I just said, I don't expect Darius Slay to be able to slow Devontae down. He's got the capability and the skill level to take his game to a level and potentially limit him, especially if they roll another guy over the top and give him some help, which normally a guy of Darius Slay's caliber, you're not going to do, but maybe they do that this week and really just try to take Devontae out to say, well, we've got Darius Slay and an extra guy. Now, you know, and Alan Lazard and MVS and EQ and go down the line, they're going to be asked to come up with a lot more plays. So that's what a guy that has that number one corner capability that Darius Slay can do is if they want to really game plan to take something away, they've got the ability to do that potentially. So, but to go back to your question, your discrimination against the height challenge, notwithstanding, Dane, I don't think that's going to be a huge factor. I want to see these guys win, run their routes, be on the same page with Aaron, get open, catch the ball, and just be their job. And I think that's what it comes down to.
Okay. Anything else on the offensive side of the ball that you think that our listeners should be paying attention to this week with this Packers offense? I mean, this has been a prolific Packers offense. I mean, I can't believe we've talked this long. We got to mention him, Aaron Rodgers, playing an MVP level right now. I saw Vegas Wags has Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes are the two most likely MVP candidates at this point. We do a Packers podcast. We don't always talk about Aaron because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers, but, I mean, he's been playing out of his mind this season. He's missed a couple throws, but he's been playing like he's 5-6 years younger. His touchdown ratio is incredible. I mean, can we expect more of this from Aaron this year? Because it's like he's a man possessed some of these weeks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do to exploit some of the aggressiveness of this Eagles defense. So we talked about Mike Schultz. They're not going to change what they do. They're going to attack. I don't think the Packers responded well against a similar attacking style against the Buccaneers. So while I don't think the Eagles have the talent on defense that the Bucs do, in a one-game matchup, you know, throw it all out the window. They can create matchup difficulty and create, situations where they're able to force the Packers offense into some discomfort, shall we say, and potentially some turnovers, that can swing things in a hurry. So in a way, I'm going to use a basketball analogy. When a team is high pressure, you got to respond with pressure. So you called for potentially some screens last week. I think this week we could see a couple of situations where we see some screen passes to either Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams. I would not be surprised if that happens at all. They've been doing a very good job of attacking vertically these last couple of weeks, going back to that Colts game. So that's going to be something else that they can attack against this Eagles defense, is to try to attack them vertically. And
they've been able to protect Aaron Rodgers so well that as long as they're able to give him just enough time to make that throw, with his rhythm and his timing and his accuracy right now, you just said what a high level he's playing at.
Mm-hmm.
If they can give him just enough time, I think that Aaron can beat them deep over the top a few times this game as well. So if he's able to connect on some of those throws, that can really limit the effectiveness of that attack and defense. And that's how you beat them. So, and that's, I think, what the Packers are going to really need to try to do, because if they're not able to beat them over the top, we talked about it going into the game against the Bucs, they'll just keep pressing up and they will just keep, I mean, it seems like it just comes in swarms once they're able to win that advantage. I'm talking about the defense in that attacking mode. So while they're not the most talented defense in the NFL, they can cause some problems. So I think that's what the Packers are going to have to try to do to respond and limit what the Eagles want to try to do to slow them down.
That's really good stuff. So, you know, you mentioned Jamal Williams. He's a guy who last season got hurt very early in the game on a pretty brutal hit. How important do you think he's going to be this week to this not only the run game, but also just what the Packers are doing? I think that he is almost unheralded with how he is able to help this offense just flow, even when he's not touching the ball or the target. What he does in the backfield, picking up blitzes, just his overall game is so important to what we do. Do you think that we're going to see another week where Jamal's getting in the end zone like he did this last week?
I sure hope so. And, you know, he didn't really look like his normal self after he came off the COVID list.
Yeah.
It took him a couple of games, and even the first half against the Bears last week, he just didn't seem like he had quite the burst, but boy, was it good to see him get going in the second half. So, I'm hopeful that he can carry that over. And yeah, with his, proficiency as a pass blocker, you don't really talk a lot about that as at the running back position, but he just does the job. No doubt about it, Dane. So this is a week that he could play a key role in doing that. And hopefully he can come up with a big play and get in the end zone. That would be wonderful to see him to get out there and be able to dance a little bit, getting into the end zone and scoring a touchdown.
Being at home back-to-back weeks, I know the fans, we're going to have a few fans in there again this week, very limited. How important do you think it is that we just don't have to travel and that we're able to stay at Lambeau Field for another week, fans excluded? I mean, just the lack of travel, do you think that plays into the Packers' hands, Wags? Do you think that matters at all? I'm just kind of curious your take there.
Yeah, I don't know. Last week was the first home game. I felt like they looked like they had a lot of energy.
Yeah.
We talked ad nauseum. Why that would be, we don't know. I mean, you could come up with a whole bunch of frivolous reasons. I don't know that there's any of them have merit. Maybe they do. Who knows? Maybe they just needed to play, you know, roll out the barrel for Aaron. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, let's just bottle that and shake it up and release at the beginning of the game this week. And hopefully we can come out strong and get out in front, because I feel like if we're playing ahead against this Eagles team, that could be a situation where things could really start to tilt in our favor. We've seen the Eagles, what they've really been struggling with. And if they start to have to force things offensively, the Packers are able to dial up the pressure on Carson Wentz, maybe get a couple extra turnovers. It could play out similarly to what we just did against the Bears last week.
Wags, anything else offensively? I feel like we could talk all day about the Packers right now. I think we're flowing. But is there anything else offensively you want to touch on as we're talking on this side of the ball?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, certainly, look at the job Tonyan did. We didn't talk about him at all going into this matchup, but we talked a lot about the Eagles tight ends. You know, it makes his job a lot easier, and he can be a lot more of a weapon when this running game is going. There's no doubt about that. So You know, I think the Packers, they put some good tape out there. Perhaps early on, we see some of the tight ends continue to get involved. So Sternberger could continue to get involved. He didn't get a lot of looks last week, but he's been out there quite a few snaps, particularly since John Lovett went down, as he's been playing more in that H-back and fullback role in the backfield as well as a tight end. So I think that could be something to look out for early on and see if they're trying to get some mismatches on that first level to try to limit what the Eagles are going to try to do to attack and press the line of scrimmage with their linebackers to attempt to slow down this Packers rushing game. That can be how they can put them on their heels a little bit and make them have to pause as they cover the tight end at that first level as well.
Wags, I think it's that time. Are we talking X factors here? I love this part of the podcast. Every week we each select one offensive and one defensive X factor that we think is going to impact the game this week positively for the Packers. So I'm going to defer to you to start. Wags, who you got? I'm always so fascinated by who. And by the way, I have no idea who Wags is going to pick right now.
All right. Well, I'm going to go in ahead and steal your guy. We've been going back and forth on this. Alan Lazard, since he's come back from injury, he came up with a couple of nice catches last week. But I think this is the week where he has another breakthrough performance. I think he's going to have 80-plus yards.
Yes.
6-plus receptions. He's going to get in the end zone once, maybe even twice, Dane. I was thinking we're going to get a big week from Alan Lazard this week. I think the Eagles are going to be doing everything they can to key on Devontae Adams. And Alan Lazard's going to say, all right, I'll take it. Thank you very much. I'll take that to the bank. Aaron will be happy to keep number 13 involved. So I'm going to go with Alan Lazard as my offensive X factor this week.
Great choice, Wags. The Lizard King with a one or maybe a couple TDs. I love it. Great choice. You know, I'm going to go out on a deep limb. We have not talked about him at all today. I'm going with our new guy, Tavon Austin. Wags, we haven't talked about him. The Packers added Tavon to the active roster. Normally, I would say a brand new guy on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to need some weeks to get used to lingo, et cetera, et cetera. Tyler Ervin, who's been playing kind of a similar role, you know, has been banged up, but it looks like he's practicing at least, you know, partially this week. But even still, Matt LaFleur has a lot of comfort and knowledge of who Tavon Austin is. I think a lot of the lingo with the offensive playbook is going to be similar to what he was knowledgeable about in both San Francisco and in with the Rams. And I think that he's going to come in this week. I don't think that he's going to sit here and have 80 or 90 yards or anything like that. But what I think he's going to do is he's going to be able to provide a little of that motion for the Packers. Some of the stuff that, even without the ball in his hand, is going to make the Eagles just kind of think in the back of their head. And you mentioned that screen game, Wags. I agree the screen game is going to come out for the Packers, but I think Tavon Austin is going to get his hands on one of those footballs, and he's going to show a glimpse of that 4.34 speed that we all know and love about him, and I think he's going to have a big gain against the Philadelphia Eagles. I also think he's going to show a spark in the return game. Tavon Austin is going to be my offensive X factor, and we're going to be very excited to have him in Green Bay.
I'm just getting pumped up just listening to how passionate you are. I would love it. Like, I wasn't even positive he was going to play this week until I saw Coach Menenga's press conference, our special teams coordinator,
He wasn't exactly coy when the reporters asked him about Tavon Austin, if he would be an option as a return man. He was like, yeah, he's an option. I would agree. I think we might see him back there. Maybe not as a full-time guy, but I think we'll see him back there at least at some point. So I love that pick, Dane. If we're able to give them spark like that, look out. Look out. All right, so defensively, since you gave me the honors offensively, I will let you go ahead on the defensive pick first.
Wags, it can only be one guy this week, friend of the podcast, former Philadelphia Eagle, Shandon Showtime Sullivan. He is going to wreck the Philadelphia Eagles this week. I truly believe it in my heart of hearts. I think Sullivan is going to just be a maniac against them. He's going to be all over the field. He's going to make them pay for letting him loose. I think that he's going to have an interception this week. I think that he's going to have his nose in on the football. He's going to play sound defense like he normally does. I'm excited to watch Shandon Sullivan. I mean, what more can I say? I think he's going to make a significant impact. I think Carson Wentz is going to be feeling a lot of pressure from our defensive line. He's going to put one in the air, and Sullivan's going to come down with it, and he's just going to have a really solid game for us and continue to show that progression and why he is on the field as much as he is for this Packers defense.
Dane, I think, you know, we talked about rules with X factors, and first of all, I've got to tell you, I love that pick. And I think I'm going to break some ground here. And normally when we say that we steal each other's X factors, we go to our next guy. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Double X factor.
Yeah.
Shandon Sullivan this week. He's my pick too. I don't care what y'all say. We love Shandon, and he's just playing at such a high level. And just so you know, Dane, you sent a message to Shandon on Instagram. He responded, he's ready to go against the Eagles team. Let's just say he's ready to go. He sent us a direct message. He's ready to go. I can't pick anyone else either. I think Shandon, I don't know if he's going to get an interception, but he might force some fumbles. He's going to do something out there. He's going to be getting tackled. He's going to be flying around, in control, like you said, but I'm so excited for him to be able to go and show this Eagles organization, hey, you shouldn't have given up on me. I am truly a rising player in this league, and you should have given me another opportunity to continue my career with the Eagles. We know he's thrilled to be in Green Bay, but I'd expect him to come up and make some big plays this week. So I love that pick so much, Dane. For a first, we are going to go with a double X-factor on the defensive side of the ball, Shandon Sullivan.
Wags, we're making history. I love it. And what better pick? I think that is absolutely spot on. Awesome selection. I think it's time for us to talk about score. I'm going to defer back to you unless you want me to go first. I want to know who you got. What's the score this week?
Yeah, I think the Packers do come out strong. Listen, the Eagles, they might keep things close, maybe a little back and forth. We could see like a 7-7, 14-10 type score in the first and second quarter. But I think the Packers are going to find an opportunity to pull away a little bit before the half. And I think they will come out and have another strong second half performance. The Eagles may score a touchdown late. But I expect the Packers to be ahead fairly comfortably. I think this is similar to what we saw last week, hoping that we get a full game performance out of both sides of the ball. Take care of the football will be key, but I think we can force a couple turnovers from this Eagles team. We can take care of the ball, and I've got the Packers taking care of business and winning 34-24.
Oh my gosh, Wags. That is a great choice, number one. And number two, you're going to chuckle when you hear my score here in a second. But I love it. I think you're like right there. Miles Sanders is a very, very talented second-year running back. He's also not been utilized the way that Philadelphia probably should this year. He's had a little bit of an injury issue, but, you know, he's very talented, but they're just not putting the ball in his hands all that much. That's going to be a detriment to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Packers' offense is going to continue to roll. I think that we have one of the best offenses in football. We're going to continue that course this week. Aaron Rodgers is going to be continuing that MVP type season. This is the week where people are going to be going, holy smokes, Aaron Rodgers just put it through the air. Last week he had 4 touchdowns on 211 or so yards passing. This week, Wags, Aaron Rodgers goes well over 300 yards. We tear the Eagles apart on some big plays. Aaron Jones has a nice run game going. What more can I say? The defense smothers. 38-24 Packers over Eagles. I think the defense plays really good ball, doesn't get a pick six or a fumble return for a touchdown this week, but just keeps a short field and allows Aaron Rodgers to strike after strike after strike. Again, 38-24 Packers win.
I love it, Dane. And of course, we will say, just like last week, neither of us was all that close in the score. But neither of us were too sad to be wrong last week. So if we could get a similar, you know, at 38-24, that's a big margin of victory. So
yeah.
I would be pretty pleased, especially if it is a situation where we're up a few scores and Philadelphia just gets a late touchdown to make it slightly more respectable. So, on paper, this is a game that the Packers clearly should have an advantage. I think when you get down to some of the matchups, the Eagles can cause us some problems. So this Packers team is going to have to be ready to go right from the start, and hopefully we don't see things revert back to a few weeks ago like we did against the Jags, a team that I thought we played down to the competition a little bit. And that would not be something we want to do this week, because the Eagles are not a good football team, but they have quite a bit more talent than a team like Jacksonville does. So if we play down to their level, you never know what can happen late in the football game if we give them an opportunity to keep it close. So I like your pick very, very much, Dane. and I truly hope that we see things continue to roll for this Packers offense this week.
Wags, I mean, as we wrap this up, effectively, if the Packers are able to win this week, we're closing in on the division championship. We're up 3 games right now. I think that the Eagles, while they have things to play for, they have 3 wins on the season. I think that this Packers team is mentally tough enough to understand what's in front of them, the opportunities that are in front of them. This is a big game. We want to take care of business at home, and I think the Packers are going to be able to do it. I just think that the Eagles, for they've been relatively solid on defense, but this is a week where they're just not going to be able to keep up with this explosive Packers offense, and we're going to have a heck of a time. I'm ready to go, man. I wish it was Sunday right now.
I do too. But we've got a couple more days to look forward to it and salivate on this day. And folks, thank you so much for listening. Let us know what your thoughts are going into this week. Send us your score predictions. Let us know who you think your X factors are going to be. If you agree, if you've got someone else, if you've got a different score prediction, we'd love to hear about that. Overall, we just love to hear about anything from you guys. So thanks so much for listening. You know where to find us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Dane, I think that just about does it. So as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go!